to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Yes, you are, you handsome devil.
Oh, geez.
It's good to be back, buddy. Good to see you. Anyway, we have a good show for you tonight. I think maybe a bit of controversy. I'm not certain. We're going to talk about this entry size thing, these 300 dog shows and the 4,000 dog shows, and all that means and what we can do to at least study it or address it. Also, we're going to talk about the one and only, the magnificent Marcin Essex show, which is going on as Will and I record this. And also, we just want to talk about some little shows up in Canada and how they're handling these things. There's lots to learn between these two borders. That's it. Thanks again. Stay tuned. The Dog Show Drive. How are you, buddy? It's been a big week in dog shows,
yes,
and I can't wait to hear what you got to say.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Well, we'll see. So we were talking earlier about the big one. I mean, it's unavoidable. Yeah. You have to talk about it because it's ending up being one of the coolest things in the sport.
Oh, my gosh.
The Marcin Essex show.
Yeah,
and Marcin Essex, the history, and I think the smartest thing they did was the every 5 years.
Yeah.
Makes it so special.
That's right.
Have you been to it, Will, in the modern?
I've been to the, I was at it, oh, I guess two Marcin Essex ago.
Yeah.
I was at there. I went to that one. With,
I showed that's not 10 years. I think it's 11 years because of COVID. Yeah. There was a year off or something.
No, it couldn't have been that. So, no, I went to the last one. It couldn't have been that. The dog's not that old. So it must have been the last one I was at then.
And you're not either. Let's go by that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not there, ladies and gentlemen. William and I are not able to attend for many reasons, but it's not for not wanting to go because we'd do anything to be there right now.
Yeah.
The show has been going on all day as we're recording this, and I just can't get enough of the pictures and the vibes and the reports. The outfits, come on, how cool.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde, there's all kinds of things happening. They're
great stuff. Roaring 20s outfits, and I just love it. You know, it's so refreshing and it's so fun, and it does pay homage to that great show. I mean, that's not just dress up to have fun. That does pay homage to the wonderful history of that show and all that went before it and how big that show was and how important it was too. And now it's linked together with National Specialties and it brings you right up to Montgomery weekend and there's all that good stuff going on at once. And it is fabulous.
A great week, doesn't it? Great week of dog shows.
It does. And the reports are just, I mean, I keep hearing, this might be the coolest thing we've ever been to in dogs. This is the greatest show we've ever seen. And it's all the details that that club has put together that make it so special. Everything from the trophy tables to the particular details and gosh, the photographs have been great. I wish I was there.
Yeah, from the trophy tables and the old cars. And
Yeah.
Makes you want to be there.
And the entry.
Yeah, the entry.
That's the story for me.
Wouldn't they say the biggest entry in our hemisphere right now?
Yeah, 4,000 dogs. And you're not just getting 4,000 dogs in the area. They're coming from all over. And that does play into Hatboro, Montgomery weekend so well. Because, you know, if you're going to come out, you might as well come out and stay a while. But the thing that I love about it is that the entries are uniform across the board. There's big entries in every breed. You've got a great judging panel and a great layout and a great, you know, the judging started at 7:30 this morning.
Yeah, I know that.
And I haven't seen that in a long time.
Wow.
Oh. But not so many entries they have. So a 4,000 dog entry, I can remember, and I know, I mean, it wasn't 100 years ago for you whippersnappers. It was, I mean, Travis Tritt and Trisha Yearwood were playing at the theater across the street, arena across the street, theater, back in the theater.
Back in the theater, yeah.
And that was the one and only Louisville. And Louisville, it wasn't unusual to get 4,000 or 5,000 dogs.
Oh, I know, yeah.
And it was quite an ordeal. And Dan Jones, bless his heart, he had a lot to do with putting that thing together and holding it together, as did many others. But what a show. And we haven't seen that. And that's probably, well, probably it has to be, oh my goodness, maybe it was a while ago. Because I was with the AKC, which makes it at least 25 years ago.
Yeah. For that big one, yeah, for that 5,000 dog one.
Yeah.
But even as back to Miss P, I hate to bring her, I'll always bring her up. I know that I hate it, but when she was showing, there was 3,500 dogs at Louisville. Right. So
yeah, it still was a big show. And that wasn't all too long ago. But you know, these things change, and I can't help but think, you know, the COVID thing is sorted out where shows are coming back. They are back. I mean, I don't think anybody's canceling a whole lot of shows these days. And we just have to look at this because just a couple weeks ago, it seems every weekend lately, there's a 300 dog show. There are probably more golden retrievers at Mars and Essex than there were at that old show. Well, maybe not quite that many, but I bet if you added labs and goldens, you'd get pretty close. And there was a show not too long ago where everyone knew exactly who the Terrier Group winner was going to be because there was only one Terrier entered.
Yeah.
And that was a 300 and some dog show. Now, I want to make it clear, this boarder didn't just walk off the street without a bath and get a group ribbon. He also went on, or she, I don't know which, went on to go best in show. So it was a quality dog. But, you know, I just don't know. The disparity seems to be profound. You were up in wine country, right?
Yeah, last week.
And what was that entry like?
I think it was like $2,000. Seemed huge to me. Like we had every entry I was in, I was in two Beagles and Irish Setters, but they were good entries. There were like Beagles was, well, I want to say 15, 20-ish. And Irish Setters were more than that because especially we're talking 30, 40. So it was nice. Yeah.
Well, the average entry of dog shows in America, AKC shows, in 1994 was 1,734. 1,700. The average entry.
That was what year? 94?
94. Not 2,000 years ago.
No.
And the Maple Leafs were even playing good hockey. Anyway, for the Canadians, for our Canadian listeners, I want to let you know that I have more Toronto Maple Leafs gear than any other team. Well, I have a lot of Blackhawks gear too, but I'm a fan. I am a real fan, unless they're playing the Blackhawks or some other teams. But I love the uniforms. I love the players. I love the history. And someday I'll go to the Maple Leaf Gardens.
No, we don't have that anymore.
Right? I know. Now it's some bank, right?
The AC Center, or what are they? Scotiabank Center. I don't know where it is now. But
No one still calls it the Garden.
The Garden still exists, but it's downtown.
Yeah, but don't you still call it that? Even if
yeah, we still call it Maple Leaf Gardens. Yeah, yeah.
Right. But anyway, I love that history and I love that show and I love the history of these old dog shows like Mars and Essex, and those things are important in the world when you're trying to learn the sport. You need to learn the history. So what do you think, Will? I mean, every weekend, 300 dog shows lately are not uncommon. It seems if you look at the entries from the results, most shows are 600-700. So I don't know what the average is now. I know that I think it was 3 years ago when I ran the numbers from the annual report, the average was 789 or something. It was around 800 dogs, down from 1,700. That's a pretty big leap, right?
Yeah.
And now we're seeing so many. I don't know what the numbers are going to look like at the end of this year, which will be tilted because of COVID. Maybe a better place for references next year. But there's lots of 600, 700, 800 dog shows. Nothing wrong with that. It's in fact, I want to make that clear. There's nothing wrong with that. Unless you ask the question, why?
Yeah.
You can't just let numbers like that occur without someone saying, why are they happening? Is it because there are fewer people participating in the sport? It's not because fewer people are registering their dogs. We know that's...
I think it's fewer people in sport because we look at today, look at last weekend in Finger Lakes. So they're there. They're just not coming out, or they're dispersing in different directions.
Aha. Uh-huh. I think that is, to me, Will, I think you hit it on the nail.
Yeah, that's
what too many shows, too many options. And I there was a post about this along the way. And I heard it was a very nice response from, it wasn't my post, but there was a great response about a comment about too many shows. And she said, you know, where I live, we put on a small show, very small show. The people love it because they get to win where they normally wouldn't. And they get to come to a fun little event. And I get all that. I completely get all that. If you live in Nebraska or Wyoming, where you're not going to have a population to support a big show, you're going to have small shows. But what if they, I don't know, what if those clubs got together, regardless of the distance?
I mean, maybe
you could make accommodations and cluster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if not, they're going to there's going to have to be a time when we say championship shows start at this number. Open shows from there down. You can have it. Open. It's just going to be an open show.
Well, but let's face it, you know, when you get to a 200-300 dog show, and it's basically a champions only dog show.
Well, and it's a famous, I mean, sometimes you'll get, we've all done it, snuck off to Kansas for a 700 dog show, and the top 10 dogs in the country happen to be there.
Yeah.
And they all walk in the airport together going, oh, man. I was here to steal this one.
You told me you were going.
That's right. You promised. But happens all the time. But I don't know. And now all the small clubs are going to get mad saying Kavanaugh wants them to have an open show. I don't. I want you to build up your entry enough and have support doing that. I wouldn't just say, go fix it. Go get more dogs. I'd say, let's look at the research. Let's look at what we've got going on. Find out why and how we can help those clubs. Maybe it is clustering them together.
Yeah.
Maybe it is doing, you know, going out of the zones to put shows from even several states together, whatever it takes. But there's got to be a way. And I just don't think it's going to be as representational if we have 4,000 dog shows and 3,000 dog shows. And 300 dog shows on the same weekend.
Right. Like we have up here, we have limited dog shows. You guys have a couple now, you know, we have the odd where you have two shows a day.
Right.
We have ours, a lot of ours are limited to 175 per show. So they get two, one day is 350. So, I'm under the belief that if, because they've, what they've done is if their entry hits the limit, they'll just raise limit. I honestly think that if these we put these shows into practice for remote areas, right. Remote areas could have their dog shows and still be somewhat profitable or not at least lose mm-hmm. money. But I honestly feel that if they hit their limit next year, they don't get a limit show. Like they're continuously hitting their limit. I think that I'd rather see a 300 dog show than two 175 dog shows.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's different between nations, between over our border, because you guys have had smaller shows in the last 15, 20 years as well, but it's disproportionate because your population is smaller.
Right. Yeah.
So you're going to have smaller shows anyway. But I mean, I've been to some of your 300 and 400 dog shows. There's tons of quality there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But it's a matter of dispersing the quality over a big country with clubs in every state, multiple clubs in every state. And you probably wouldn't have, I mean, certainly in areas of Canada, the prairies and other places, you might not have that population to support shows in every province.
But here's a point. Right now, for years, Ontario dominated numbers in Canadian dog shows. Our shows mm-hmm. were the biggest.
Yeah.
And then we started getting 2 and 3 shows a weekend. Uh-huh. Well, let me tell you, out west, Alberta, BC, they have one show a weekend. Their numbers are twice our numbers now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because they have one show, everybody goes instead of three directions they can go. So it proves right there. You look at the top dog stats, and some dogs have been to way less shows, and they're ranked way higher because they're out west at bigger dog shows.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, and that does, it does, it also does a number on these, you know, top dog things. And, you know, you can win 80 groups now. And never beat any more than 500 dogs.
Oh, at one I know. Yeah, like our reserve best in shows count now towards top dog stats.
Yeah.
And I think that alone has made a problem for us, because you could be top dog all breed without winning a best in show. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. You certainly could. Yeah, it just needs to be. I think what's happened is this is another case of gradualism in dog shows. It has slipped slowly and slowly over the years. And we get to the point where we just accept it. And again, I don't think these clubs aren't doing anything wrong. They just happen to be in a less populated community. And on top of that, there's 25 options within a couple hundred miles every way. There are other shows in New York during Wine Country. And you had 2,400 up there, and there's, I think, an 800 or something also in New York. It was a long drive in New York. It's a big state.
Yeah, even Long Island was the same weekend.
And it was Long Island. I'm sorry.
And I think the sporting group in Finger Lakes was, almost 300 dogs, and the sporting group in Long Island was 80 dogs.
Yeah. That's what happens. And, you know, by the way, my memory serves me well. Looking at that judging program for the day, there was one terrier. It's probably not the only time it's ever happened, by the way.
Oh, God, no.
Probably. But probably Montgomery weekend it would be something that would happen. Yeah. But this non-sporting group had three breeds represented, too. So, you know, you're not getting a full representation. And that, again, gets us back to one of the biggest differences between England and America. A best of breed win here, I beat two. A group win here is what everybody's heading for. Does that take the focus off breed judging and breed specialists doing breed judging, mixed in, of course, with all-arounders, as it should be? Does that take the focus off of that and shift it more and more to who's gone best in show?
Oh, no question. Just in some people's eyes. But I honestly think without the focus on the breed judging anymore, that the quality has tapered a little bit. You know, you don't have everybody coming out trying to win that breed. You know, so it's like we have a woman up here that breeds some beautiful. I'll change the breed, but let's say Great Danes, and she only shows up when it's special. And I'll tell you, when she shows up, that ring is different.
Well, you've got, some breeds have their own special. Well, Irish Wolfhounds, for example, you know, you get ones and twos at most shows, but at the nationals, you get 300-400. This year's national, I don't know, the last one I was to was Breeding Farm. That was 360 some, and that's a sight to behold, because you just can't show Irish Wolfhounds down the road every weekend. It just doesn't work that way. And the thing I also worry about is you guys, well, you former guys, handlers, who, you know, you've got to go to 400 shows now. You've got to go out. What about life? How good is that for everybody? Your health, mental health, physical health. It's not easy to pull together. So I just hope that there's some more thought about this. I don't have the solution. Don't hope to, don't want to. I hope it's a collective sense of what can go on and some guidelines to help the small clubs or come up with a way that says, that's it. Here's the cutoff, open show, championship show.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, and it sounds brutal, but in order for the rest of the country to get stronger, some of these little clubs, if they can't, they can't hold their own.
Yep. And what they could do, if they're really in this to support purebred dogs, they might not have a dog show, but they should do match shows. They should do, you know, public training, outreach kind of stuff to get people. And maybe that'll get more people interested in the clubs and in the sport, so they can have a dog show again when they get their numbers up. Because right now, maybe they're only reaching out to people who go to the dog shows, and maybe it should be, and it shouldn't be on them, but it would be, because that's the kind of support they get, to go do more community events and things if they can do that. It's tough. I don't know. But there's just got to be just too lopsided with 4,300.
Yeah.
especially when you're looking at records and ads and championships and things. Some of these things are so funny, but not much you can do.
Well, when Ontario started introducing limited shows in our less than remote areas, we were having limited shows in Orangeville, which is an hour from Toronto, because clubs were getting...
So, I'm sorry, Will, you're saying limited shows so they could have two.
Right, right.
The purpose of having two.
Yes, yeah. So they started, CKC started allowing non-remote areas to have these limited shows, mostly on the Fridays, but they were still doing it. So I wrote an article at the very beginning of it all, and it said, and it was called "The Doomsday Clock is Ticking for Ontario Dog Shows." And it started off, hose me down, three shows a day. You know, but I started off trying to be funny, but I was being perfectly honest. I was worried about our numbers, and it's come to fruition. We have, it's getting better now, you know, because of the pandemic has canceled some shows. So our numbers are starting to rise because we don't have as many shows. But we did have a weekend a few weekends ago where there was two shows in one weekend, and the show where it was down here in Southern Ontario was 300, almost 400, and the show in Northern Ontario was 80 dogs.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can't have that. Like, and that was they were both good panels. They're both good clubs. Well, yeah. I think that the powers that be should have said, you know, sorry, Northern Club, you should have your show a different weekend in order for you to survive.
Yes. You know?
And we have free weekends because the show's been canceling. So
it's like putting a hockey schedule together for an NHL team. There's no easy feat, right?
Yeah.
Well, someone's got to start juggling those things and see, not me, someone smarter than me. But it's one of those things that I think is becoming more of a statement about the sport. And, you know, I hate to keep going back to England, but they have a set number of championship shows and the rest are open shows. So when they have a championship show, guess what the entries are?
They're jumped.
So when you go win one of those, you've got something that you have won. And there's not many of them. I used to know the number off the top of my head. There's very few. People in America would freak out if they only had 18 or 20 dog shows to go to a year. But bet the entries could be bigger. So
I'm open to that idea. I think that's a great idea, the open dog shows. Yeah, you don't get, let's say you don't get championship points, but you get the points toward it. Would have to be different up here in Canada because I think that size show would end up being a champions only show. So those shows would have to go to those numbers would have to go to your all breed rankings or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think if they had a weekend where Friday was an open show, Saturday was a championship show, and Sunday was an open show, I bet you'd see that Saturday numbers. Mm-hmm. Boom, you know, someone should do it just an experiment to see what happens.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Will. And you know, maybe the rating systems are part of the problem.
Maybe, yeah, maybe.
I know in England you talk about this is a top winning dog because he won 12 CCs in 1 year, which automatically means he's beaten a whole lot of dogs. He's defeated a whole lot of dogs. But I don't know. It's two different nations divided by the same language. So I'm not sure how we work that out. But there are examples, not just from England, of course. There are examples from Sweden and Finland and some other great, Ireland, of course, other great dog show countries that have different systems as well. There's some, I don't know. It makes me think.
Yeah, food for thought.
You win a show down here in America, when you come down here and you win a show that's 400 dogs and you win one that's just 3,000 dogs, I'll bet it feels a little bit better.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Janie always told me a dog show is a dog show. And best in show is a best in show because seven good dogs end up, but it feels different. Like,
when Janie was active, the dog shows were 2,000 dogs a weekend, 700 dogs a weekend.
And she won her first best show up here in Canada. Did you know that?
Oh, really? Yeah. How about that? I didn't know that.
An Airedale.
I would have thought English Cocker.
Airedale. And I believe it was the Maritimes. So back in those days, the Maritimes would have been quite small because they've historically been smaller shows. They're just starting to build up now.
Yeah. So, well, it did her well. It was a good beginning, right?
Yeah.
She's won a few bigger ones than that. But know, I remember, and look, I mean, one of the things, you look at point scales, you know, 5-point major, how many were there entered? 6, you know, or whatever it might be. Boy, if, you know, what was a 5-point major in Irish setters in America in 1980?
You know, all I know is I got a 5-point major in my boxer bitch in Louisville, I want to say 20 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and there were 70 bitches.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things have changed too. Yeah. Is the sport shrinking because there's fewer participants? Well, I could, you know, one of the things that always bothered me about statistics at the end of the year was lots of those things, because, you know, there's three kinds of prevarications, lies, damn lies, and statistics. You know, you can make them, you can torture the data to make it speak, as we used to say in school. But the, when they say there's, you know, 150,000 entries, you know, in this 2-month period, were there, or were there dogs who were entered 4 times every weekend?
Yeah.
And when you count, if you're counting by the number of dogs who participated in a show and thinking that's the number of participants, you're not even close, right? Because people not only double enter, but they show every weekend, some don't show. So you need to get the individual number of people who participated at least once to get the number of people that participated in the sport. Mm-hmm. And that's a different number than, you know, there are 800,000 entries this year. Doesn't mean 800,000 dogs. And the other way you could do that by unique dog, you have that number, right? The AKC has the registration number. You could run that through all the entries of the year and see how many individual dogs linked to their registration number were shown. That would tell you where you're at. And I would use that data to compare it to 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and just to see what's happening. Maybe you can't fix it, but I don't like just sitting back and saying, well, that's what's going now, you know, fewer people.
Well, I hate to say it, it's an easy fix. There are just too many damn dog shows, Wayne.
There are. Too many damn dog shows, Will. Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it is.
That's my story. It sounded kind of brutal, but it's the truth. And I mean, when I was a kid, we had a dog show in Sault Ste. Marie, 6 hours away. We all went. Mm-hmm. A dog show in North Bay. 4 hours away, 5 hours away. We all went.
Yeah.
Because there was, that was the only game in town each weekend. We all had those shows. Mm-hmm. And back then we had clusters too in our areas. And that was to make the smaller clubs, because in the summer circuit, we had a Perth County Kennel Club along with the Woodstock. And they were smaller shows, but smaller clubs. But they joined together to make a circuit. And right. There was like 9 shows in 10 days or something. Well, they got great entries because all you Americans came up because they wanted to finish your dogs in one trip, and you did. So
plus, it was fun.
Yeah.
You started later. You could camp out. I mean,
and every hung out afterwards and bonfires and barbecues and it was a blast. You
know? That's how it should be. But what do we know? I just feel sorry for the people who are involved in the sport that have to work so many days a year as well. That's not good on it for everybody. And that includes judges that have to judge.
Yeah.
By the way, I found I should have written it down. It was either a Facebook site or some website that has a list of judges that have more than 3 groups. And it's used by show chairmen.
Yeah.
Or show chairs, I should say, to try to put together a panel. When you only have so much money, so many entries, and you need someone who can do half the show.
That's right. Yeah.
That's something that never would have happened, you know, before this big declines.
Didn't have to worry about it back then.
Yeah.
And that's and of course, you, like no you have way. A, your all breed judges are shrinking down there. Yeah. And a lot of these clubs need all breed judges to fill their panels.
Well, not only shrinking, you're getting old.
That's what I meant. I was trying to be.
Well, you do shrink when you get old. I used to be a 6-footer. I know you were close. You're 5'11". But as we age, our spine settles a little bit. So that's what. But they're also just, you know, getting too old to actively. It's a hard job physically. for someone who's 90 doing deep knee bends all day, unless you're some of our miracle people.
Unless you're Joe Gregory.
some of our miracle people. Gosh,
he judged boxers today at Morrison Essex.
Did he really? Yeah. I'll bet he danced every stride too.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure it was worth to see him.
Cool. I would have gone to see, well, I wish I could have gone. My life did not allow it. Not wife, life. But I think I am going to the garden this year, Will. Okay. Yeah, and I wasn't going to, but I'm doing that if it goes, the combined English setters.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Now it's in Stamford. How am I going to get from Stamford, Connecticut to Manhattan? I have no idea. No idea. Would I rent a one-way car to Manhattan?
Yeah.
And then pay to park it for the week and then drive it to Newark Airport? I don't think so. There's got to be a better way to do it.
Trains?
I may be able to take an Uber to a train and then change trains a few times and get there. And I might have to do that. Unless I can find someone else that's rented a car and we all chip in.
Right.
And drive down from Stamford to New York. But I'm not sure I'm going to go. I think this year, I booked a room near the piers.
Oh, good.
Because the breed judging is what I'm interested in. And last year I booked, well, not last year, whenever it was, at the Garden. I booked a room right near the garden, which is what I typically do. And I had to schlep down to the pier for breed judging. And that taxi ride is harrowing, expensive, and 3 hours long.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going far, but you're not going, you're maybe going 1 mile an hour, but you're mostly sitting. So I thought, I think I'll be closer to the piers this time. And by the way, who's ever done it, and I assume it's Westminster, I know it's Westminster Kennel Club. They have, they're on their website for hotels, they show you which hotels do the shuttle to the piers. Mm. And that's real handy to know, because it is hard to get a cab. More and more difficult now.
I couldn't get a cab with Miss P after the Best in Show party at the garden.
Turn
the
back going,
well, they wouldn't take my dog.
No,
I said, really? She just went Best in Show. No, you're on your own.
So what'd you do?
We finally got one, but it took a lot of tries, you know.
Man. Haley and I got stuck at United Center in Chicago after Michael Bublé concert. Yes, I'm that kind of dad. Darn it, I will take my kids to see Michael Bublé.
Plus, good old Canadian boy, Michael Bublé.
That's right. And we came out of the arena that night, and little did we know that they have buses there to get you out of there. But they stopped running, and if you're down in the Michael Bublé bubble where we were, right next to the stage, you're the last one out. The buses
Michael
were gone.
Bublé.
Yeah, Bublé.
Right? Sorry. He does those commercials up here for that.
He does it for here too.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah, it's great. But anyway, we get stuck in a section where you don't want to be at all. The cops just kept saying, you need to get out of here. I don't know how, but you probably should. Don't go that way. We ended up getting a limo that someone canceled. Anyway, I got to get there from here, and it's going to be interesting, but I'm looking forward to it anyway, because I really want to sit and watch the breeds. And, That's what makes it happen to me, for me.
Yeah. I'm going to go this year as well.
Good.
I finished my Beagle girl, and I'm going to try to get her entered. So.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. And Leslie Hiltz is doing Beagles.
Yep.
A great breed specialist. And Eddie's doing a bunch of hound breeds too.
I think so, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, he is. I looked all that up to make sure it was going to be fun. But, well, Will, what else is new in your world?
I have a member of the Old York Kennel Club, which is we're having our first show tomorrow in Canada. We had to get one show under our belt this year to get our priority dates for next year. And so we're having a 1-day dog show that's tagged along with another kennel club. Like tomorrow is the Old York, and then that's followed by the Wildwood Kennel Club 4 days. It used to be our Thanksgiving. This is our Thanksgiving this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving weekend shows. And that's where I'm heading right now. I'm going to go soon. We're going to finish this. I'm going to go there. And we have our inaugural judges. We have Miss Judy Sherp from BC and Mr. Carl Leitman Michigan. Yeah, so he they're our first. So we only have two judges for the first show because there's only, I think we got almost 300 dogs. The two judges can do it. So
sure. And that'll for next year. What's the plans? So you need to get this one under the on
right
bun yeah. before you can yeah.
We're hoping that the dog show, well, we know the dogs. The dog show is going to go in with the Gorilla Winter Fair next year.
Ah, great.
So that'll great. Be fun. That'll make, well, I'd like, we'd like to make more events up here. And I think if we tagged along with the Royal Winter Fair, it'll become an event. So
is that, that's not in London, is it? Is it in Toronto?
It's in Toronto, yeah.
Right. What's the one down. I went to? It's a big fair in London.
Western Fair, probably it's called.
Yeah,
Western Fair.
Yeah, it is Western Fair.
I know it's Western Fair Grounds, so.
Yeah, it was. That's what they call. I was. Yeah, we were up there for hockey, of course, and I happened to stop in. It's all good. It's kind of like a pet show, and they have a dog show with it. No, I mean really, there was like
yeah.
iguanas.
Well, because we used to have. We had our London canine dog show was held at the Western Fairgrounds.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So that's that was, and at one point it became a very big show, like. For us, it hit like 900 dogs, Western wow. London canine. And it was, we took up like, I remember crossing the road trying to get to the next building to show Bouviers. So, wow. So that's fun. You know, yeah. It's a pain in the butt, but it's fun. You know?
It, and you get spectators. And,
right.
And then, you know, there's another element. We don't want those anymore. And that's how you stop growth.
Right.
What do we know? Anyway, young William, it has been a pleasure as always. Great to see you. And I'm thanks glad you're still well. Sporting the white beard, trimming it back.
I was away this weekend. Jesse Sutton asked me, because he has a beard as well. He said, where did it start going gray for us? It started going gray on the chin or on the side of your head? Like,
oh, it's the chin.
I said, it's always, I said, mine started right at the chin. And then yeah. He looked at his, he said, it's starting. I also got a shout out to Doback out there. I hope he's listening because he told me he listens to us pontificating each week. So you know who you are, Doback.
That's great. Well, thanks again for all you. Yeah, I mean, we've gotten some just fun emails and comments over time. I'm thrilled and surprised. I think we're both shocked, actually. I don't think this thing has grown, but we really appreciate it and appreciate you all spreading the word. I know our buddy Dan Buchwald had a nice post about it.
Oh, yeah. Last week. I like when I hear people quoting us, you know, it's like, oh, yeah.
Did we really say that? It's all, we only meant that at that moment. That's all.
Exactly.
We
don't really, unless it's written down, I know it's, I don't remember.
All right, Will, it's been great. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. I hope we got you down the road a little bit this year, this time, this week. See what I'm saying?
I know.
Don't believe everything we say. Anyway, thanks again for listening. Young William, send
party
us on.
On.
Party on, Will. Good night, everybody.
Be safe, guys.
Who are those guys?
Everybody, that's what I'm talking about, guys. We've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right.